Last time on Wanderlust.
Birds are chirping. And by birds, I mean reptilian half-feathered dino creatures.
There's one really tiny, very cute bird. When something comes near, like a bug, it like turns ferocious and eats it.
Your job is to keep me from risking my life.
That's why we moved here.
Are you telling me we moved here so you could go on suicide missions with werewolves?
But I can promise you that I'll bring you anything back that I find.
I am still mad at you.
You're allowed to be.
But that does help. Now, I just want to thank all of you for being just exemplary citizens last night and letting me know about Maul. She gets into trouble, and I think it's good that you let me know. I'm not padding the charges. She is a career criminal who has done many illegal things.
Mitchell, she wasn't trying to sell us anything.
You told me that she was last...
No, she was offering help.
Don't do anything crazy. Just enjoy your time here. That's all I'm asking.
I agree to one of those things.
I heard a rumor about some kids that have gone missing. Have you heard anything about that?
The town's haunted. Everyone knows it, no one talks about it. Every once in a while, you know, people come here and they vanish.
As Autumn comes running across, jumps and lands on one of them, and it is like immediately a switch flips and it's like bull riding.
I'm Dion. Rodney's gone. So okay. Are the others.
We think they disappeared into the wild?
They did. The secret is they did. Everyone assumes they left because I'm mad at them. Well, I'm not. Yeah, obviously, monsters took them in the wild. That's what happens to everyone. Everyone knows it.
I think we get ready to go back to the ruins.
Where we left off last time, Vinny, your character Fred, was going to set up his shop. Meanwhile, the rest of the party was down in the Warrens, trying to investigate or learn more about the missing children. And we're picking up after you guys had a conversation with Dion, the lovesick power surfboard rider and rebel without a cause.
So are we ready to go out into the wilds and look for these kids?
Well, I think Juliet might be, but I know I would maybe like, an hour or two to make sure I can get everything packed up so we can make sure we got everything to go.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat there. I don't really know what I need to take to go out in the wilds. How long do we think we're going to be out there?
Long as it takes.
I have a packing list, if you need it.
Only one?
I can make another copy.
Oh, sure, that'd be helpful. Yeah, let me take a look at that.
You see a lot of things on there that are not immediately accessible in town, but food is.
So what type of stuff? Is it just your sheet is what you're referring to? The stuff on your character sheet?
You can look at Mandy's for now. I'm merging my list and... her list.
Yeah, Cody, you want to go through like my list and let us know what isn't available in town? Look, I'm sorry. Like that's going to make this the easiest.
Yeah, cuz I feel like I've gotten contradictory information of like what stuff is and isn't available in this world in terms of
okay.
What costs money and what doesn't cost money cuz
so let me try to explain this better cuz I think you guys are getting way too in the weeds with this, which is partially my fault but also partially not my fault. So when I started the game, what I said was you do not have anything but what you say you have. So if you want something, say you have it now. And you guys listed stuff, that's totally fine, right? You cannot add things like beyond that now, right? Other than food. So food, give me a second, is what is guaranteed to all of you for working in the gardens. It's like necessities of life. So like someone mentioned clothing, sure, that makes sense. But if it's not like an immediate necessity of living in town, they do not just like supply you with hiking hooks and rope and all that stuff. this is the progression of the game, is having items like that, right?
Okay. That makes sense to me, because when we set up the world, the mental image I got was like, yeah, everything you need to exist in town, just living in town, is provided.
Yeah.
But it's anything bespoke extras and stuff that costs. So it's like, yeah, I'm adding stuff to my sheet because I'm stealing a towel. I'm taking my bed sheet off my bed. I'm going to bring an extra set of my clothes.
That's fine.
Stuff like that.
All that stuff's fine. But something like an axe would not be, right?
Okay.
That would be stuff that... Now, the other thing I'm going to say here is, like, I, as a game-running person, am aware of the fact that you guys should be ill-equipped for this. That's kind of, like, the point. Yeah.
That's why I put bedsheet and not sleeping bag and tent.
Right. Like, kind of the idea here is that this is, like, your first foray out into the wilderness, so you're going to be learning as you go, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, now, Mandy, you said you wanted to ask something.
No, I didn't necessarily want to ask something. I just, the way you explained it makes more sense, because I was going to say, basically, most of the stuff on my list is, like, the most basic for backpacking, and, like, I was going to argue that, like, a cooking set, even if it's not technically the one that I, like, found as an example, we'd be able to cobble something together from what is in our
You could steal spaces. Pans from your son. That would make sense for you to have, because you, like, have...
Well, but even communal living spaces, like, the kitchen areas are going to have something if you snag a pan, right?
Yeah, that'd be pretty... That'd be, like, kind of...
It would be. It'd be crappy, but you could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be frowned upon. Like, your son... It would make sense for your son to have stuff like that. What?
My character is based on doing things that are frowned upon. If you're going to not let me do something because it's frowned upon...
No, you can. It just will be frowned upon.
Okay.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying you'll probably have to roll it if you get caught. They might be upset that you're just stealing communal objects.
Borrowing.
Yeah, I mean, this would be seen as, like, socially weird to do, to just, like, walk into a communal space, grab a pot, and be like, this is mine now. Like, well, no.
It'll be like, I'll bring this back. Sorry, I'll bring this back later. Don't worry about it.
Right. Like, that would be seen as very strange to do.
He proceeds to skip town.
Does that make sense, though?
Yes.
All right. Back into the game.
All right. Well, why don't we meet up at the ruins in, say, 2 hours?
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan to me.
See you guys there.
I go buy food.
What time of day is it right now?
Morning.
Pretty early, because I think we all got up pretty early to do garden work.
How long are our shifts at the garden?
I would imagine maybe this is like mid-morning. Like
that early still, okay.
Or like lunchtime?
Sure. Let's say that in 2 hours it's lunchtime, and let's also not worry that much about it because it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Also, you don't have to buy food. Food is free, but you guys do kind of have to determine how much food you want.
Sorry, I acquire food.
How much does it weigh per day again?
2 pounds per day.
2 pounds per day.
I am bringing basically the max amount of food, which is 10 days worth.
Anyone else?
I'm getting a week's worth.
Okay.
Hang on, I'm doing math.
My thought is Autumn is trying to bring as much as she can, because if they find people who are hungry, she wants to be able to have food for them.
What was our pack size limit again?
40.
40. Okay. Just wanted to see how close I was.
Ooh, okay. I talked with Cody about this. Since I'm also bringing food for Guffy, I'm doing 3 pounds per day instead of 2. And so I am bringing 5 days worth of food, which gets me to, well, actually I'll end up taking off some of the things I have. But right now I'm at about 30-ish pounds.
Here's a question. Could Guffy wear a pack and also carry stuff?
He is, but I currently do not have a little harness backpack for him.
Adorable.
We'll have to work out a weight carry for him.
I'll have to go talk with, what was the NPC? We set up Maggie.
The leather worker lady, or?
Outdoor Fabrics. Maggie, yep.
So Juliet had gotten 3 days worth of food previously, and that's about as much as she can carry. She can pick up like one more day. That's about it.
You're carrying a lot of stuff.
So in the few hours we have before we go out, Estelle is going to run home. She's going to make some no-bake like energy bar things, along with like, you know, putting together her meals. And she's also going to leave a note for Matthew. She's going to say, "We'll be gone for a few days. If you need anything, let Grandma and Grandpa know. Love you, Mom."
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to ransack before we leave. So I guess I could say Fred is stealing, however you want to put it, a towel, taking one of his bed sheets, like the thin bed sheet, and an extra set of clothes, at the very least. This is stuff, like, of the stuff he didn't come to town with. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that makes sense, or that Fred would think of. I'm going to bring 75 swords.
Hey, you never know. You never know when swords might happen.
And they all have the thrown property, so I can use them as throwing swords.
Good. Throwing swords were an important martial tool. Everyone used them.
Do we need to? Are you waiting for us to tell you everything that we have? Or?
No, I'm waiting for you guys to all say that you're done getting stuff and how much food you're carrying.
I think we've all done that. Well, Vinny hasn't. Vinny hasn't picked how much food he's taken.
I did a week, 7 days.
So we've all said it then.
Okay. Cool. All right, so then it's, if you guys want to be, if we want to skip time to, this is kind of like if you need to do anything else in town before we get going, this is, you know, a speak now or forever, hold your peace moment.
Our peace has been held, let's go to the wilds.
All right. So all of you meet up in a few hours by the ruins, right? The path that leads up here, there's, you know, kind of a picnicky area, clearing, and then as you look out, you can see, just kind of stretching into darkness, this, even before the prehistory that we discussed on recording, no one really knows where these ruins came from, just these old crumbling buildings that kind of stretch out, like a town, you know, into the forest and into, you know, long overgrown and shaded trees. You know, it's kind of a dark and murk as you look out into the trees.
All right, you all ready to go?
Let's get to it.
Yeah, I suppose, but I don't even know where to start out here.
I think we just kind of need to take the first step. And Estelle starts walking in with Guffy at her heels.
Okay. Sorry, I just realized something weird about the numbering of the map. It skips a number.
Yeah, it's because since they're hex grids, they're like offset.
Okay,
so if you look, that's like fine. It goes 40. Yeah, so Z goes 40 to 42 because 41 is the one that's between them to the bottom and top.
No, I get that. It's just kind of funny in the like I have to track this on like a program, you know. So the program's going to be a little bit weird about that.
Oh, it's gonna not be like that. You're going by twos.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. But yes, basically yes. Okay. So you guys are just kind of like walking deeper into the ruins?
Yes.
So as you do, the forest around you grows darker and darker. Like the light almost entirely goes out. You're kind of in this almost oppressive gloom as you walk deeper and deeper into the eaves of the forest. The ground is soft under your feet, and you remember that track that Estelle saw, right? As this is where, you know, I said that you made a tag or a aspect of memorable print. You can see those occasionally leading off through these ruins deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest, kind of pointing in a direction, right? The further you walk, eventually you do come out on the other side of this ruined town. So that's a long walk of very quiet, almost no life, no animal noises, this kind of oppressive silence. When you hit the edge of the town and walk further, you feel almost a slight pressure, kind of like a popping sensation, as you suddenly start hearing and seeing life again. Not just plant life, or like, you know, the rustle of leaves, maybe there's a little bit more sunlight coming through the trees, but you can also hear like faint chirping of birds, faint skittering of animals, and just kind of generally the activity that you would expect to come from being in, like, an untouched wooded area. The tracks become more erratic now as the forest around you, the undergrowth has become more choked, and it's less of, like, smooth grass and rock and more of, like, fallen trees, undergrowth. It's, you know, the normal bottom of a forest without having ever been cleared and then filled with rocks like the town was. This kind of wanders down to a break in the trees where you can see a river flowing from east to west. So that's kind of where you guys are on the map right now.
How big is the river?
I mean, pretty small. Like, it's...
like, we could, you know, walk across it?
Well, I mean, you don't know how deep it is, but the width would be, like, you couldn't jump across it, but it's not, like, a mile across. It's swim... you would think you could swim across it, you know, relatively easily.
And then, can I see where the tracks are, or do you need me to roll?
So, what I will say for this next part about... tracing these, so you get one free use of that aspect, which will give you a bonus. Tracking,
I get two.
Oh, right, you're right. Yes, that's correct, because you only got one bonus because of how well you rolled. So tracking the animal is going to be a roll you have to kind of do in every tile to keep figuring out the direction you guys need to go. That can be a variety of things, but if you're trying to use the footprints, you can do that twice to give yourself a direction. It won't give you, like, a location on the map. It's going to give you, like, a bearing. Like, the feet seem to be pointed this direction. But that might also have been because the animal was running downhill instead of uphill. So who knows? Does that make sense?
Sure.
You're not getting an exact location. You're getting a direction.
Yeah.
Getting, like, a heading.
Yeah. Yeah. If I need to roll then to follow the... oh, wait. How does that work? If it's an aspect, do I... just get to add, like, a
you
plus
add
one?
Add two to your roll if you're using the aspect.
Yeah. Add two. Okay. I'm guessing I can't add animal handling to this one because there's not an animal.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch, I think.
Yeah, I don't have anything to... I don't have a skill specifically to add to that.
Someone else can also try to track it if someone else feels that they would be better at it. And could use that aspect. That's like a group aspect.
Okay.
I think I might have.
Unless inquisitive would work, but.
Perception.
You could make that work.
I have notice.
Oh, notice is good.
And yeah. Investigate.
Your notice is like a plus three.
Yeah, my notice is plus four.
You should definitely, yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely be doing this.
So I can do that.
And you get a plus two on top of that, so you have a plus six.
Way, that'll be good enough to combat my terrible rolls. Yep, that's a three.
Three total?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez.
And was that without using the aspect?
That was with plus six.
So that was adding two.
That was,
okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That was with everything, because I rolled a negative three.
Wow. okay. So you can tell that the footprints are leading the kind of the opposite direction of the ruins, which is to say, like, this is a little bit spatially... tricky here because you're basically going backwards. So you were heading north-ish through this tile going down towards the river, right? The tracks point south.
Like the way we came then?
So this is where you came from, like the southeast, and they are headed south. So imagine you came out of town and the tracks like went around the outskirts and back. Does that make sense? They circle around the town.
Okay.
So not across the river, then?
Not across the river, yeah.
Well, we can follow the tracks. They don't seem to cross the river. I'd prefer not to get soaked this early.
I mean, I think it's worthwhile to follow the tracks since we think these creatures might have taken the kids. Or at least that's the best idea that we have.
Best being relative, but yes, let's go.
Okay, so now this is where kind of like the scouting of tiles becomes a thing that's relevant. So this is where you guys kind of get to learn something ambient about the tiles around you and then decide which one you want to try to move into. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically what we do here is everyone passively makes some kind of like perception check, adding whatever skill you think is appropriate, and then we basically average them amongst the group.
Okay.
So could I use notice again?
Yes.
I'm just going to use perception for
plus
right now.
Plus seven.
Yeah, I'm all... Jesus, okay. Did you roll a... you rolled a four? Three? What did you...
I rolled a plus three this time.
Jeez, wow.
I rolled straight. I don't have a perception type roll, and that's a minus one.
I'm going to use my notice, and that'll be a one.
I got a plus two with my notice, or with my perception.
Okay, so you guys can learn basically one thing about any tile that you might want to move into.
And we think it moved up towards Z42?
No, south.
South.
Of south. So BB40?
Or 42.
Do we know which one we think it went towards?
No, you don't know enough from the prints, given the roll, to know exactly like a straight line direction. You know it went south-ish.
Okay.
Kaelin, you're the one who's pulling the group along. Which one do you want to scout?
You can scout both. This is like you can learn something before you move into them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you said we can only learn one thing.
About each tile.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, so...
You said you can learn one thing, so I thought we had to pick one and hope.
Sorry, I wasn't clear. You can learn one thing about each tile.
Okay, can we learn one of the
things?
Okay, we'll do BB 40 and 42, since those are the directions we're looking for.
Okay. What do you want to learn? You can kind of, like, ask a question.
What signs of wildlife are there?
That's a good question. Okay, so walking, as you walk south and you're kind of, like, either picking your way kind of closer to, there's clearly, like, on B40, so if you head more southwest.
Yep.
Yeah, southwest. The land clearly gets a little bit marshier in that direction. It's a little bit lower, and you can hear, like, a lot of bird noises, and I think it is maybe fair to remind you that in your society, bird noises are different than bird noises in our world. There are dangerous birds.
There's, like, giant dangerous birds, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
Is this like a kookaburra noise?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you hear some danger squawking. B40...
42.
Or B42, you're headed uphill a little bit. It's a little bit, like, physically going is tougher. The growth becomes thicker and less traveled, it seems like. And you don't, like... hear as much bird noise in that direction. Yeah, I think that's what I would give you.
Well, I'm not a biologist, but this thing seemed to be a predator, and don't predators kind of stick away from other predators?
I don't exactly know about that, but if you're going to suggest that we stay away from the birds, I'm going to agree with you here, because I don't think we really have a lot to defend ourselves this time around, so...
I mean, I got a machete.
That is impressive.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I left my bow and arrow back in my room. I didn't think it would be necessary to bring it with me.
You can use a bow and arrow.
You were going to shoot the animals?
Yeah, I don't exactly advocate for that, but I'm impressed if you can use one.
You guys think I actually can fire a bow and arrow? That's funny.
Well, that's a relief. Yes, let's go to BB42.
Okay.
And Fred kind of mutters under his breath as they move on. I'm about to teach this group some sarcasm. They don't seem to understand.
As you make your way kind of climbing up a hill a little bit, like I said, the elevation starts to increase a bit. The undergrowth grows thicker and you start feeling that kind of pressing silence again. It gets a little bit uncomfortable. You abandon that lively sound of chirping birds and skittering of a normal, you know, living forest for something a little bit quieter. As you walk and that feeling increases, you come upon a deep rift cut in the hill. It seems unnatural to you. Peering down, you can hear, like, faint rhythmic noises far down in this rift in the ground.
Sandworm.
The spice must flow.
Can I investigate the gouge in the ground?
Sorry? Yes?
Is this still in BB42?
Yes.
Okay.
You said, okay, so sorry, Caitlin, ask that again.
I got a two. I was going to investigate. I got a two. I was investigating the gouge in the ground to see if I can find anything else about, like, if it's the if we think it's made by the animals we were tracking or like something entirely different.
Okay, so you can ask me one question. What would you like to know?
What made this gout?
So as you look, so like I said, it's not natural. And as you kind of examine closer and reach your hand in, you can see almost like bucket-like scrapes out of the ground. This strikes you as very odd, considering everything you know about the wilds, which is that there is not supposed to be anything out here. So seeing very automated mechanical scrapes out of the ground in this kind of long rift is very strange.
Okay. Okay. I relay that to the group.
Do you think is this like a crevice, like a deep down crevice, and you said music is coming up from it?
I said rhythmic noises were coming up from it. It is an as yet unspecified depth. When you look down, you only see darkness, but you got to realize the forest around you is quiet. Trees are very much totally overgrown above your head. Very little light is getting in here. It's already pretty dark, and you're looking down into a pit.
Okay, so it's like a chasm, not a scrape.
Yeah, it's deep. It's very deep. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. This is
okay, yawning.
Darkness in front of you with a
witch. I misunderstood that.
A width across which you cannot jump.
Gotcha. Okay.
So in a cover, it's like the whole tile's cut in half by this, so we can't get past it.
Yeah, so anytime you go into a tile and I describe something like this, this is something you got to deal with before you can get through it. Yeah, basically that's the way it's subdivided. It's a little hokey that this rift is exactly 1 mile long, but, you know, this rift is exactly 1 mile long.
Or we have to go around it, which takes us... It
requires you to go into the other tiles.
Yeah. That requires us to go into the other tiles with other challenges to do and takes time out of our way.
Where there's chirping birds.
Yeah.
Yes. Because you've already spent the time basically going into this tile. Yeah.
If we walk along the chasm, can we find areas where it's not as wide across?
You would have to, so that would be, mechanically, basically what you're doing is making an aspect of, like, easy crossing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you would be, so this would be creating an advantage, yeah, which is something you could do and you'd use one of your skills, roll just like any other, and then there's a difficulty basically set by me that depends on how well you do is whether or not you find that.
Well, I do have a rope if we felt like we wanted to rappel down it.
You want to go into the creepy dark cave? A creepy dark chasm?
Well, yes, definitely. Also, what if the kids fell down there?
I am hesitant to want to do that only because Guffy can't go down that way.
We can tie a harness to him and lower him down.
You know he's a giant dog, right? He's huge.
Can't imagine he'd love that journey. We can always go around it.
Here, let me test something real quick. And Fred is going to try to find a rock to drop in the chasm.
All right.
So he does that. How long does it take till he hears it hit bottom?
So that's a fantastic question. And I understand what you're trying to do is gauge the depth, right?
Yes.
Can I instead tell you how deep it is? Because I don't want to be like 45 seconds, like that's 10 miles deep.
Sure.
5 seconds per mile.
How much is it?
5 seconds per mile.
Really?
Yeah, because like when you see lightning and then hear thunder, every 5 seconds is a mile.
Well, I mean, that's light speed. Or no.
That's the difference between light and sound. That's not the difference of how far down.
It would be sound.
No, it's sound because that's the thunder.
That's the difference between light and sound, not how far, not how quickly the thing would fall because it would have to accelerate.
Oh, yeah. No, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
You can just tell us distance, Cody.
I am going to... I'm trying to relate this in stories. It's about 5 stories down, which would be
50 feet.
Yeah, let's say 50 feet.
Yeah, 10 feet per story is a decent estimate.
How long is your rope, Caitlin?
50 feet.
I didn't specify a length of my rope.
Infinite.
And by Caitlin, by the way, I mean Juliet. I'm sorry, I'm working on character names.
That was okay.
50 feet is the standard length of rope in D&D, so...
Yeah, I feel like putting 50 feet is fair. You know, I had rope on my sheet, I just didn't specify that, you know?
Yeah, 50 feet of rope is 1.5 pounds.
I'm gonna say again, you guys don't have talk rocks, but you can split the party, like, not everyone has to try it. In fact, it would probably be stupid to send everyone down.
All right, Autumn ties off the rope to a tree and starts heading down.
Okay. I will say using the rope in this case gives you an aspect with a free invoke, which just gives you +2, and now you're making a climbing check to climb down. These walls, by the way, when you start climbing, are very muddy and slick. But anyways, make me a check.
And I will say Fred is holding on to the rope, giving Autumn a little bit of slack, but not too much.
Yeah.
Okay, so she doesn't fall all the way, yeah.
Yeah.
And be sure to keep talking as you go down so we know if you run into anything.
I got a 4.
Okay, cool.
Does anyone have a flashlight? I didn't think to bring one.
as you shout that up, you feel your voice very thin. Like, you can tell that that is not reaching to the top, and you had that thought too far down as you sink yourself lower and lower into total darkness. By the way, just so you know, narratively or mechanically what just happened there, minor consequences, you're cut off. Like, they cannot hear you or see you. This is now just a rope going into the darkness.
Neat.
So, four was the difficulty, so either you were going to take damage or there was going to be, like, a narrative effect. The narrative effect is currently cut off. So, up above, you guys are just lowering a rope down. You can still feel weight on it. And, Autumn, you are just kind of alone in the darkness, making your way down.
So for difficulty, we need to beat it, not tie it?
Tying is a success with a minor cost.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand a system.
Beating it is a success with no cost, yeah. And then anything above is shift, which you can use to do other things. So it's like the Powered by the Apocalypse thing where, like, there's a band that is success with cost.
Yeah.
That's what a tie is. So as you lower yourself down, the wall goes from soft soil to kind of something rockier, and eventually you're just feet on hard rock. And again, just like Juliet noticed, this rock has clearly been dug mechanically. You can feel like digger claw marks in it through the stone as you climb your way all the way to eventually hitting on a smooth, relatively flat bottom of this tear in the ground. You are standing, and the mechanical sound is louder now, this, like, kind of thumping mechanical noise. What do you do?
Well, you said it's hard rock, so I look for the cafe is the first thing.
-10 for bad jokes.
I can see a little bit, right? I'm not completely, like, blind.
Right now you are basically completely blind. Yeah, you have sound, you can hear something, but you are in total darkness.
I will move in the direction of the sound.
Make me some kind of check.
Here's a question. Do you untie yourself?
I don't think so. Not yet, at least.
Okay, so as soon as she gets only, like, a little bit away, we're gonna feel the rope go taut, and we're gonna have to untie it from the tree and follow her.
Yeah, you'd basically be, like, on a leash as you feel it kind of
walking.
So basically, it's walking kind of at a diagonal, so you can mostly parallel to the wall and then slightly at an angle as you guys up top are scurrying across.
What do you want me to add for a walking check? Does athletics still count?
This is more finding your way in the darkness. Do you have anything that would be, like, related to making your way in the darkness? If not, it's okay.
Idealistic. I think I can do this.
Nope. Okay, so you're making an unhelped roll.
Can I do perception?
Yeah, I'll let that one slide. Yeah, because that's, like, hearing.
Yeah, following the sounds.
5.
Awesome. Okay, cutting back to above ground. All of you, like, have been hearing this kind of, like, faint pulsing noise from way underneath. As you, the three of you above ground, are sitting there kind of watching this rope slowly move its way around, you hear a similar noise, this kind of, like, thump, 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 noise getting louder. And as you look across, you see what kind of looks like a hovering mossy blob just kind of making its way towards you. It is just the color of muck. It maybe has a faint glow to it and is just kind of going thump, 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 thump as it's slowly approaching you.
How big is it?
Is this on the same side of the chasm as us or on the other?
It would be coming along the chasm in the direction of Autumn. You know what I mean? Like, if you imagine this rip in the ground, it is coming along the tear in the ground.
It's in the chasm.
Above it, like right above it.
Okay.
Oh, so it's like floating.
Yeah.
How big is it?
Okay. Following Autumn?
Okay, so you can see this tear in the ground, right?
Yes.
If you were to lean your head over and look down the tear in the ground, it would be coming towards all of you, which is the same thing as kind of coming towards Autumn. It is like in the rift in the ground, in that it is like at a level with the ground coming towards you. But that means it's an open space.
Yes, yeah. How big is it?
The size of Guffy.
Okay.
Estelle is gonna pat the ground for Guffy to like get down. And she's going to take out her camera and make sure to get some pictures of it.
Okay. You take a few pictures, and the thing seems not to respond. You still just hear this thing, thump, 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 as this...
How far away is it from us?
You're kind of watching it approach, so that's up to you. If you want to do something when it gets right next to you, you can.
Well, I wanted to see... Does it look like it's floating, or does it look like it has legs that are 50 feet long, is what I'm
it
looking...
It does not look like it has legs that are 50 feet long.
Okay.
I'm going to turn my flash on my camera and take a picture that way. Does it respond to that?
Are you trying to, like, instigate a response out of this thing right now?
At this point, yes. If it's getting close to where we can see the rope, like, getting taut...
Make a roll with... You know, whatever thing modifications you want to make.
I don't think animal handling would work here, but that's the best one I've got.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that what I can roll with, or
I am allowing you to roll with it for the time being?
Okay, then that's a 4.
Okay, so the thing gets right up next to you, and you hit the flash, and it reflects, right? Because, like, you know, like you would expect to see like a reflection in eyes. And you see it reflect on something, like, glassy, but that is clearly not eyes. Like, this thing is caked in mud and dirt, so it's kind of hard to tell. So you get, like, some kind of sheen of something glass or plasticky, which seems artificial to you. It does not respond as an animal would. Thump, thump,
thump, thump, thump, thump, thump. Fred is going to whisper, do we just let it go by and... Doesn't look like it's going to bother us, right?
Is it continuing to move, just like passing us by?
If you allow it to continue, it stops above where the rope you can see is leading down to Autumn and just starts to sink.
Oh, no.
Maybe throw a rock at that thing, Fred.
Yeah, I guess he'll do that.
Oh, and Estelle's going to tug the top of the rope.
Yeah, Fred will hand the rope off. For now.
I'm not right. Strangling you, just letting you know, like, hey.
Why would you tie the rope around your neck?
It was my stomach is what I was doing.
Oh.
Like my weight, like you, like I'm walking, I was almost like, oh.
Yeah, Fred is gonna find a rock and throw it at this thing using physique.
Coup.
It's a 1.
You miss. That just...
Ow!
That just wiffle balls right there.
Just, I miss with a 1, just don't even hit it.
The 1's not great.
Yeah, that's like average. It's a moving target. Yeah, it's not easy to hit.
I mean, 0 is average, right?
No, 0 is mediocre, 1 is average. The difficulty was 2, I'm sorry, you failed, it's a game.
I think Juliet is gonna try to call down, like cup her hands over her mouth and call down to Autumn.
So far down in this pit, Autumn, you feel a tug on your waist, and at the same time, your hand reaches out and brushes against a, metallic feeling door. You kind of feel around its edges and can detect, like, okay, it's like clearly a double metal door that's set into the stone. And as you rolled a 5, right? So you did very good with this.
Yes.
And so as you like feel around the outside, you can like feel what seems to be like buttons and stuff around the outside of the door. And also far above you, you hear like another rhythmic thumping sound and then also just kind of like shouting, but you can't really detect what. You're sort of like, bah, bah. And then you're hearing like a thumping sound approach you.
I'm definitely hitting the buttons.
All right, you start slapping at buttons, and the door in front of you slides open, and you are met with what is a dazzling light for this moment, right? Like, you have been mostly, you know, in total darkness for a while, right? So doors slide open, you're hit with a huge amount of light, and you see into a room that is odd to look at. It's obviously some kind of manufacturing. There are conveyor belts just moving rock and other material around. You can see what looks like reactors of some sort that are processing whatever you see here. This just, it looks like some kind of ore processing, right? Like, to your kind of untrained eye. And you still hear this thump, thump, thumping noise coming from behind you.
Well, I'm going to go in and explore more.
As you go in, the rope goes taut, and you're basically pulling on whoever's hand it's in right now.
I'm going to untie the rope.
Like, you're... Okay, you guys up above feel the rope go limp. You walk in, and as you cross the threshold, the door doesn't immediately slam shut behind you, but you turn around and see this mossy-looking little thing float through the door behind you. It's caked in mud. It kind of looks like a little, like, shell about the size of Guffy. It's making a thumping noise as it slowly makes its way over to, like, a little kind of, like, landing bay area. You see, you're like, thump, 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 and then it stops above, like, a big container. The bottom of it opens, and you can just see, like, kind of questionable detritus fallout, rocks, mud, twigs, leaves, just this thing opens up, whole bunch of rocks and mess falls out, it closes, and then it goes thump, 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 makes its way over to a wall where you can see it, like, plug into something and sit there for a little bit. The thumping now quieter.
Is there a program, like a way, like a computer or anything around?
Do you want to make an investigation check for computer?
No, because I don't have investigate, but I want to.
Some kind of check for this.
Well, I rolled a plus one. Can I use my lore ruins?
Trying to think of the right way to put this to you. So you're just trying to see if you can figure out a computer terminal for this thing?
Yes.
What's the goal here? What do you want to do with it?
I want to, like, program this so that we can use it to fly over the chasm.
Okay. I mean, that is an interesting idea. I do not hate this idea.
And I figure since it's picking up rocks and detritus, it could probably carry a person.
Did you... And you rolled a one, right?
I rolled a one. I don't know if you're going to give me lore ruins.
I'm definitely not going to give you lore ruins, because these are not really the type of ruins that I think you would have lore of.
I mean, it's a pulp novel lore, so I'm like, it could be like...
What I'm going to say is this. You can see, like, there are many terminal interfaces around the room. You go and click on them, and they're pretty opaque to you.
Okay.
You mean one of them doesn't say Forest Roomba on it?
Yeah, and it doesn't say you can click this button to make a platform. Almost like you might need help from someone else if you want to have that as the method of getting across this.
Yeah, but then I have to climb up and find out. I guess I can do that. Is there anything else worth noting in the room?
With a one, no.
That was, like, looking for a computer terminal. I just didn't know if, like, I saw anything that would catch my eye, you know?
I mean, the whole thing's pretty freaking weird, right? Like, having a random ore processing plant in the bottom of the world is weird.
All right, I'll go climb back out.
Okay.
Do I need to make a roll for that, or can I just climb out?
I'm gonna say to climb out, no. We'll just kind of make that part of the one that you made. That way we don't have to roll so many dice. All right, you are back up.
So I figured out a way to get across, but I need someone who's good with computers.
Did you find a computer down there?
Found a lot of them, but...
What was down there?
It looks like an ore processing plant of some kind. I'm not really sure, but this robot flew in that was, like, covered in moss and stuff, making a little thump, thump, thump.
We saw that.
Yeah, but I figured, and then it, like, opened up its belly and dropped out all these rocks, and I'm like, hey, if we could program that, we could fly them across the chasm and all get to the other side.
So you kind of lost me at ore processing. You said there's, like, ore processing down there?
Yes. That's what you're worried about? Not the flying robot? Or
yes,
the riding a flying
robot? I was stuck on the flying robot part.
Well, you said you saw it, so that shouldn't be weird either.
No, it was definitely weird.
No, I mean the part where we get conveyed across the chasm. I'm not sure what the weight limits on it are, but you said there's computer terminals?
Well, I was carrying a bunch of rocks, too, so I think the weight limit's pretty high.
I can take a look at it unless Estelle or Fred, you have a desire to interface with computer terminals?
Don't look at me. That's not exactly what I am very good at.
What about you, Guffy? Are you good at computer terminals? Or she pets Guffy's head.
Yeah, I can't say I'm really good at computers either.
Woo! All right, let's head back down, Juliet.
All right. Here goes nothing.
Juliet, make me a climbing check.
Dang it, I really want to go.
You can go because you want to, you know, like there's nothing stopping you.
Yeah, no, but don't want to leave Estelle up there. I guess not all alone. She's got Guffy, but basically
yeah, she
alone.
Got Guffy.
But ore processing. Like the one thing I'm out here to find. Like ore stuff.
There's risk. You might hurt yourself, but
dexterous hands.
That's definitely helpful, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, are you going or not?
I don't know.
You should go if you said it's like you're the one thing your character wanted.
Yeah, that's like one thing that Fred wants to find out in the wild, and it's the first thing we find.
Yeah, then you should go. I got a 0.
Oh,
I think I'm gonna go with him. I need to see this old processing place. It sounds interesting.
All right, Guffy and I'll stay up here, and I guess keep an eye out.
So basically, what happens there? You said you got a 0.
Yup.
So, I will say that you...
Can I ask for... I'm asking for a flashlight before I go back down, if anyone has a flashlight.
I have a flashlight.
Cool.
So, what happens here is you guys are like, okay, we're all gonna go down. And Juliet's like, okay, I'm doing it. And, like, I will say is at least smart enough to clip herself on in some way that is not, like, lethal fall 50 feet. But clips on, takes one step, her foot slips on the mud, and is immediately like, falls and does the like bounce on your spine. Like, oh. You were caught by the rope, but from like a 5-foot fall, you know, basically was how long it took before the rope caught slack and you like snapped on it. And I will say, you have like a tender spine, meowchies, or you know, you take 2 physical strain, basically, you know,
okay,
however you want to do that. I'll say Autumn doesn't have to make a reroll for this. We're just doing one roll for how this climb goes. Fred.
So she, like, slides down next to Juliet, like, easily, like, well, that's one way to get down quick, I guess.
Oh.
So, can I pretend like I haven't already rolled and pretend like I'm doing my roll now?
Sure.
No, you can't. You shouldn't let me do that, because I rolled and it was bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a minus 1.
Oh, okay. So, basically, Autumn, watching this, you're like, you've spent a lot of your life climbing, so you watch Juliet, like, try to climb, slip immediately, catch slack, like, ow! And then you watch Fred do the exact same thing in the exact same place. Like, put his foot on the same patch of slippery dirt, slip, thunk, ow. And you're like, amateurs.
Estelle, before I go down, can you try climbing down this real quick? I want to see if it's a me thing or a...
What? What did you say?
The rest of the climb goes fine as the three of you make your way slowly down the rope, slipping a little bit and, you know, Autumn a little bit to your, like, eye-rolling, like, oh, of course, amateurs, not able to climb everything all the time. Meanwhile, up above, Estelle, you're just kind of sitting, taking in this beautiful landscape that is very quiet, and then you feel something tickling at your feet and look down, and you see a really large, kind of odd-looking squirrel holding a bone between its teeth.
It's not creepy at all.
Far, far underground, the three of you have reached the bottom of the chasm and click on your flashlight. Basically, until the flashlight light ends, you can just see nothing but this, like, channel cut in the rock. And then, you know, on the other side, you know, where Estelle pointed the flashlight, where Autumn points her flashlight, you can see a door.
I feel like on the way down, Autumn was giving, like, useful tips, like, how to climb better. But for Fred, it was too specific. and for Juliet, it wasn't specific enough. So it ended up helping neither of them the way down. All right, so all we have to do is go here, and we hit this button.
Door slides open, and you see an entire, like, ore processing facility built into the side of this thing. The little kind of floating shell that you saw before scooping up or, like, dropping off material. As the door slides open, you see it pop off its little stand, and you hear thump, 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 thump.
I jump on it.
You jump on it, and it's kind of gross and slick and slidey as it just kind of continues on its way, thump, 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 and is making its way towards the door. Do you stay on it, or do you hop off?
Oh, I try to stay on it.
All right, so she's gone.
Figure out if you can.
Yep. So she's just on this little thing, thump thump thumping away. All right. What do the two of you do that are left in this room?
Cody, last session, man, I love how Zach is playing a character who does chaotic things. Cody, this session, I have a character who does chaotic things.
Now Cody knows what it's like to play with himself. I think Juliet would open the door again to see if Autumn...
I mean, you open the door and it's just like, it's going and going up and you can still just kind of see Autumn atop the thing, just like, thump, 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 as it lifts its way out.
Okay. Be careful, Autumn. We're just gonna take a look around.
Woo!
She sounds fine.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.